Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's the moon?
Hi, Rob. It's Roxanna, and Rick is on as well. How are you?
Good afternoon, Rob.
Good. Wonderful. I was excited to be having this opportunity to talk to you guys.
Thank you. Likewise.
Also. Same here.
Oh, good. Well, bring me up to date. What's happening in your lives?
Our lives or our business?
Both.
Okay, our business is every day we're more and more grateful that we did Supernova because we're very, very busy, but it's actual productive work. Client meetings, financial plan after financial plan, clients bringing in more money, just, you know, very busy.
Finding opportunities within our clients.
Yes, finding opportunities within our clients. And Rick and I now, we did meet, was it last week, Rick? We had our first meeting to discuss business and to kind of get back on track. So we have a couple of names, and what we're going to start doing with COI, since we are so caught up, not leave it for us to do. We're going to pass on these names to Anthony. These are individuals we've already had conversations with and are pending appointments. So I'm going to have Anthony. And we got this idea from Miju. Miju is her name?
Mizano.
Where her CSA is actually handling, you know, the COI meetings and all of that. So we're going to pass that part of it on to Anthony.
What you mean by handling, Roxanna, just to be clear, is setting up all the appointments.
Yeah, not meeting with them, setting up the appointments, the calendar part of it. We've left it for us, but, you know, obviously it ends up falling in the back burner.
That's great.
Yeah. Personalized, we're having the second phase of remediation in our home. Floors are being ripped up, painting. So we're staying at my mom's home right now. We've been here for just 3 weeks now. We probably have another week and a half or 2 weeks. But she just moved into a very nice new home with a pool, and the kids are happy, and there's room, so we're comfortable. It's not like we're, you know, in an uncomfortable situation. So our son was diagnosed. I know we were dealing with, and it's an autoinflammatory, which is actually genetic, and we believe it's something Rick had when he was young. And it's a juvenile disease. So it's like a recurring fever syndrome.
Okay.
So Rick's actually home with him now because he started to run a fever yesterday. And where the body thinks it's fighting something, but there's really nothing there to fight.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know,
you'll outgrow it? He will outgrow it, though?
85% of individuals outgrow it, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we're trying to decide if we're going to sell our home after we fix it up to move closer to the kids' school, because my commute in the mornings, I mean, I spend at least an hour and a half to 2 hours a day from dropping them off at school, and this is not counting the commute to work, just dropping them off at school and driving home after school. And this is not counting the commute and my drive after leaving them at school to come to work. So we're considering, it's a big question mark, you know, we're praying about it and seeing which way we move forward and selling the home, and or at least trying to, and then moving closer. And that's it. That's what's going on in our world. How about you? Everything good with you?
Yeah, that's a big decision. But anything you can do to reduce that commute, I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
Life shouldn't be about commuting, you know.
Yeah.
We're probably moving from Indianapolis to Nashville. In the spring, we bought a condo down there, so I guess we are actually moving. and that would be spring of 2019. Building's being built now, so we're downsizing. But one of the things I loved about my life was that, you know, I didn't have to, I had done the commute in Boston from the South Shore into Boston every day, and then I did the commute from Chicago, from Lake Forest down to Chicago, and then I moved to Indianapolis, and I used to have to commute downtown from Carmel, and then I moved the office to about 10 minutes from my house, where our Midwest District headquarters, and had a nice office, and so I moved half the office up to Carmel, Indiana, and that was nice. And I had to travel, you know, but for work, but my commute was never more than, let's say, 10 minutes. So that was
nice. Wow, that's nice. Yeah. Well, you definitely enjoy your life more, you know.
Life.
Yeah. You don't spend many hours.
So now I'll be 9 minutes away from my granddaughter in Nashville.
Oh, nice. That's right. Your daughter moved not too long ago, right?
Yeah, she moved from L.A., which was a terrible commute for me.
Right.
And so we're going to try it, and we'll see. I'm very excited. She's in a business that can change, though, so it's a little bit risky. You know, she's in the TV business. Her show got renewed. She's a producer for the Pickler and Ben show.
Oh, okay.
So grandparent duty is like number one.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's a true joy, you know. There's things that bring joy to your life, but it's just, there's nothing like grandchildren.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm very, cause, you know, it's so weird. As a parent, you almost don't have time to enjoy being a parent. You know, you're so busy
raising them.
Yeah, and you feel so responsible and raising them, and you got your career, and you got this and that. And, you know, when you're a grandparent, you have nothing but the opportunity to enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if I could go back and do it over again, I think I probably would have tried to see myself more as a grandparent from time to time.
Really? When you were raising your kids?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Take a minute and just enjoy them. You know, play with them. Enjoy them. Don't always be parenting.
Right. Well, I will take those words of wisdom and somehow remember and try to apply them. Yeah, and my son always says, you know, he said to me the other day, Mom, he was in the pool, and of course he was trying to get something that he wanted, but he said, and it's actually true, he said, you don't have time to play with me. You're always cleaning, cooking, or working, and he wanted to play. And he said, and then Daddy comes home, and he's working, and, you know, and nobody has time to play with me. We do play with him, but I guess in his mind, you know, he wants more.
He wants somebody every day, all day.
Yeah, he thinks that we would get paid more if we just played with him all day.
Yeah.
And that's literally what we do. You know, we play with Juliet. And when we go down, we help Courtney, but we kind of like it when Courtney goes. You know, she's gone to a wedding, and then she's gone here or there with her husband. And so we kind of like it when we're just the grandparents, you know, and she's gone. And then we can just be with her. You know,
right.
And then we don't. We don't have an agenda. You know, we just have playtime all the time. But we help out, you know. We'll help clean, and we'll help garden, and we'll help do this and that. But it's always kind of like, okay, let's clean the house. Juliet, let's clean the house together.
Yeah.
Let's go garden together. So right. It's just a different mindset. You don't have to be perfect, you know. You just have to have fun.
Right. Yeah, that's what we need to incorporate more fun into our lives lately. It's just been a lot of goals that we set for ourselves, you know, professionally, financially, and we're just so focused on that as a family we need to find time to have fun again. Yeah,
and that should be a goal. You know, it was a good course. The Dynamics of Goal Setting was a wonderful course, and there's six areas of your life. And you set goals in each of the six areas. And it was health, family, education, business. That's five.
Spiritual,
yes. Good. And so we would have family meetings every week, and everybody would talk about their goals in each of the six areas.
As a family.
As a family.
That is great. I've actually seen other families on social media that are pretty successful, you know, career folks, and I've seen them do this. And they had the kids write out goals as well.
Yeah, so the kids that have goals in every of all the six areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have goals in all the six areas. And you're not judgmental. You just are educational and training and helping and sharing. And so you share your goals so that they know what your priorities are, and then they share their goals. And you teach them how to do goal setting.
That is great. And how often would you meet to review these?
Every week. Every week.
Weekly. Okay.
Every Sunday we'd meet.
Well, it's a good exercise to teach them how to think ahead, think in the future, not just the moment or your immediate wants.
Well, in those days, you know, we were all using day planners.
Right.
So I taught them how to use day planners and calendars and to-do lists and things like that. So, you know, they're both hard-working, really conscientious, good kids. And, you know, one of the interesting things was one of the kids, a neighbor, came over to stay with my son one night. It was like Saturday night, and then Sunday he got up and we had breakfast. We had our meeting, and I invited him to sit in on it. And my kids used to complain about this meeting all the time, you know. And he sat there and said, "This is the greatest thing ever. I wish our family did this."
Oh.
It kind of opened up my son's eyes a little.
Yeah.
You know, like, your family actually cares enough to listen to you.
Right. To what your dreams are, what your goals are.
Yeah.
Who you are as a person.
Yeah, what's important to you. And their little minds are so interesting.
Well, this sounds like a good Friday night family meeting starting tomorrow, Rick. What would you say? Rick, are you still there?
Yeah, I just have you off mute in case any background noises.
But this is a good idea, right?
Yeah,
both of them.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. And then it also, even tying back into what you were saying of Ricky, you know, that he knows why we're doing the things we're doing.
Right.
You know, and why we may not be playing with him 24 hours a day.
Right.
But then they get vested in your goals, and they get excited.
Mm-hmm. You know, we work together as a team. You know, our family is a team.
Yeah, it's a team. Yeah, I think it's just, you know, I have no regrets about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I used to kid the kids, you know, I just had fun with them, you know, and I was a Navy pilot, you know, so we had to have inspections on Saturday mornings and things. So, I would come into a room like a military drill instructor, and they'd line up at the bottom of their bed and salute, and I'd inspect their rooms and check for the corners of their beds were made properly. And they loved it. It was a game, you know, we made it into a game. Here's another game. Martha would get upset at me not helping enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would, and she only did this a couple times. One time she went on strike and she thought the whole place would fall apart, which is kind of weird. So like, I said to the kids, I said, okay kids, we're going to play a game. It's called Mommy Got Run Over by a Steamroller. Okay?
Oh, that's funny.
And so we have to do everything. They go, oh, great. That sounds like fun. Okay. So we have to do the laundry and the dishes. And, so we made it into a game and had fun. And then Mommy somehow survived the steamroller and came back. But it was... Rick, sometime if you're in the doghouse, that's a good way to get out of it. at least survive. Yeah, the kids love that. You know, Mom got run over by a steamroll. Okay, yeah. Not only did she get killed, but she got completely lost.
I don't know if I'll be able to get away with that.
Yeah.
One or two meals later, they'll be like, pick Mommy up from the steamroller, please.
Yeah, please.
No more microwavable.
You're going to kill us here with this food.
I know. 46 years later, you're still playing when you got run over by the steamroller. So we somehow survived. Anyway, so what can I do for you today?
I can't think of anything today. I mean, we're moving along. We honestly have to work with more intensity when it comes to our working on our business. And we did start last week. I actually have a chart here about converting new assets or, you know, different goals that I'd like to set, converting existing assets or bringing in new assets, 1% managed. And different thresholds to get to like 40 million. And then I have a chart that says actions that, you know, that we need to focus on, which are our COIs, our prospects, referrals, and then the converts, converting clients over to managed. And it's just a starting point. We need to get back on the bandwagon when it comes to that.
But you're having fun with these new assets, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, it's exciting again. It's fun. We're getting along.
And the people are loving. I bet they're loving you guys.
Yeah, they're happy. They're very happy. Now, there's been a few, just so you know, that have said. I think we did tell you that they said they did not want to be on official Supernova. So what we've done is we put them on unofficial, and then we call them, you know, regularly. To build that relationship, hopefully get them on official, official later on.
Yeah, because right now it's a lot of change for them.
Yeah, I understand. And by now you would have been able to tell me how that's working. Is that working?
The unofficial, I don't like it as much.
Yeah.
Things,
yeah. Because it's
Yeah, no, I don't like it, but we don't have a choice with those clients, and they're good clients, big clients.
But it's they're not giving you any pushback when you call, right?
No, not at all. Very receptive. Yeah. They listen to our ideas. They do whatever we say. You know, some like more explanation, which is good, you know, but it's more of an education process, and they're really good clients.
Well, what they're going to find is that the calls you're making aren't sales calls. See, and a lot of them were, you know, just think about it. If you're a client, the only time your FA ever called was to sell you something, and then he says he's going to call once a month, think about how scary that would be, right?
That's true. That's true.
That's a great point.
Here's another auto call, phone call again.
Right. Yeah. He's going to tell me something else. Oh, my God. You know?
Yeah.
So just the idea that these are educational and training calls and financial planning calls, that changes the game so that when you ask to schedule the next call to discuss this new topic, long-term care or whatever it is, you want to spend some time talking about the debt side of the balance sheet, the liability side of the balance sheet, mortgages, you know, credit card debt, et cetera, they won't hesitate then to have an appointment for that.
Right.
Okay, so just lead with the next call. You know, hopefully you guys have your 24-month calendar, so you know what you're going to talk about.
Yep.
So when you talk to them on a random basis, see if you can schedule the next call.
Okay. That's a good idea. You
know what I mean?
Yep.
And then the next time, you know, how did you, and ask them, you know, how did you feel about the call? You know, what is it that you valued from this call? And they say, oh, I love it. This is great. Okay, why don't we, you know, the next 3 months, these are the topics. Why don't we schedule them?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, okay, I see what you're doing now. This is great. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can get them into the routine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe you give it a couple of months. But that would be the way I would get them into being part of the schedule. So you don't have to make phone calls, they're all scheduled. And the same thing is absolutely true about your centers of influence meetings.
Mm-hmm.
They should be just scheduled all the time, so you don't have to think. The less you have to think, and the less, the better you do.
Yes, yes.
The more it's dependent on your tenacity or your motivation, the harder it is for you,
mm-hmm.
the less successful you'll be. The more it's ritualized, and you don't have to think about it, the better and more successful you'll be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there has been some clients that absolutely love the idea.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who was it that told you that this makes such a huge difference because their schedule, their business?
Actually, a lot of the younger, like, for instance, Farkas. She is one of Melanie's larger clients. Took all in all, they have, let me see, 5 plus 3, 8. You know, close to a $10 million client. No, more, I'm sorry, 8.8, 5, and 3.
Yeah.
So they're up there, yeah, quite a bit of money.
The matriarch,
right, did not want to get on this. She's like, no, you know, I don't want to commit to something like that. And honestly, I've been talking to her maybe every 2 weeks. But her kids, which don't have the same level of assets, but obviously they will be inheriting all of this, absolutely loved it. And they did not have too much communication before with the previous advisor. So the kids are on Supernova. She knows that they're on Supernova and that they're being taken care of. She's very happy about that. And so far, you know, she's on unofficial so far. But I think we can get her on board eventually.
That's really good story. Now, one of the things, do you guys do cash flow analysis for your wealthy clients?
Yes, we incorporate it within our financial planning, whether it be a retirement analysis or just financial planning. For instance, Melanie has a client who will be driving to Naples to meet with her at the end of August, and she just sold a $3.2 million property, or is in the process of selling a $3.2 million property, where all of those assets are coming to us. This was an apartment complex that she used to receive income from, so now we're going to have to reinvest, and she's going to have to take income from Morgan Stanley. So we're doing a cash flow. We're having our financial planning team work on a plan, looking at Monte Carlo and doing a cash flow analysis for her. Yes.
Good. I have my team do that at least twice a year because my situation changes enough that it's very interesting for me. I value it. As a client, I value it. I don't have, you know, I'm not doing it to see if I can survive. I'm doing it to see, you know, what in 20 years my portfolio will look like, theoretically. And am I outspending my money or am I spending the proper amount?
Right.
And that changes. I probably have shared this with you, but if you go through your clients, no client is spending the right amount of money. They're probably spending too little or they're spending too much. So I want you to think about that. If every client is allowed to spend more, you give them permission to do it, and you tell them how much.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are spending too much, you tell them why they're spending too much and how much they need to cut back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's great information for them.
Mm-hmm.
You're not being a jerk. Or you're not being God. You're just doing math.
Right.
You're giving them information.
When we were working with, when Melanie was still here, there was a client who she stated that the client said, I told him, and he was very upset with me, that I told him he was spending too much money, which obviously I did not say that. It was not in the realm of a cash flow analysis or anything of the sort. But my point is, do you find that clients sometimes get upset and you risk compromising the relationship if you have that kind of conversation and tell them that?
No, it's really important because you're going to have some clients that literally can outspend their money before they die. I bet you have two clients right now that are spending too much.
Yes.
And are at risk of outspending their money.
Mm-hmm.
When I stood up and talked to an office, I would end with kind of a thought, an important thought for them to think about. And I used to stand up and say, every one of you has two clients who are spending too much money. They're going to outspend their money, and if you don't do something about it, you're at risk when they run out of money to be part of a lawsuit, because they're going to come back to us and say, Morgan Stanley should have protected me from myself and told me I was spending too much, because they knew.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, you do that analysis, you know they're spending too much, and you didn't do anything about it. And therefore, they get their money back. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, you wouldn't have to pay that out of your pocket, but the 6 months that arbitration goes on will be horrible. So, we called it a come-to-Jesus meeting. And I said, The first meeting is with you and the client. If they don't listen, then the second meeting is with the client and me or your manager.
Mm-hmm.
And you put them on probation. And the third meeting is you fire them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. That's a hard...
So first meeting is the come to Jesus meeting. I'm ready.
You tell them what their budget is. You basically put them on probation. Okay? This is a letter in your file. And I put a letter in their file. Seriously. And I'd say, here's the letter. I'd like you to sign it that you acknowledge the fact that we've had this meeting and that this is the amount that you can spend. If you don't spend that, the next meeting's with our manager. And you're right. They'll be very upset. But you'll save their life. It's like an alcoholic. People are not in touch with reality sometimes. Think of the alcoholic and the drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
And the gambler. And the gambler in particular. Okay? So you can be the biggest, most important person. It's basically an intervention is what you're doing. And I'm not saying you do this all the time. You just do it when you've got a serious situation. So you have the come to Jesus meeting, you put them on probation, you put a letter in their file, that protects you. And then, they don't do it, you give them the courtesy of meeting with the manager. Because he may be able to just, as a third party, just shake them enough, straighten them out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the next meeting is, I'm sorry, I love you, but I can't be responsible for you anymore. You're fired. Now keep in mind, there's a couple of solutions, right? They can stop spending the money they are. They can take more risk to make more money. Or they can go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's actually a really good.
Who are you thinking
of?
Think of
no, there's. I've actually had these conversations with one client, and he's slowed down his. It's actually helped him to slow down his spending, and actually also helped him to invest more of his money, because he inherited money from a lawsuit.
Yeah.
So he wasn't really familiar with, you know, so it's been a big education process, you know, in all aspects, right? How investments work, you know, how you live off the income and you don't touch a lot of the principal. So, I mean, he's been very receptive, you know, but it's also somebody who may feel that they're not as sophisticated as a financial advisor, whereas someone else may say, well, you know, who are you to tell me this type thing? So
yeah.
He's been very receptive, and he's so I've never put him on probation. You know, we kind of review his cash flow, you know, probably more so than twice a year. We probably review it about quarterly.
Good for you. See, so this is really, this is what I'm talking about. Think about the people that are most vulnerable to this. People that are most vulnerable to this are people that inherit money and have never had money.
Yep.
Professional athletes. People that win the lottery. People that win a lawsuit. Now, the average inheritance lasts 18 months. And it's gone. Okay? Think about all the professional athletes that are bankrupt.
Yeah.
Professional entertainers that are bankrupt because they have no connection to reality. They think they're going to be making it forever, and their average career of an NFL player, I think, is 5 years.
It's lower than that. It's three. It's about three and a half. And depending on positions, some positions are even worse, like running back.
So here you are. The guy gets a bonus of $10 million, and he goes out and, does the stupid stuff. Or he's with you, and he puts the $10 million away and lives modestly. So you can be a huge help to people. And how about on the other side? The widow that has plenty of money but still lives like she did before her husband died.
Yeah, we have a lot of
those. We have a lot of those. We have a lot.
A lot. And they're terrified they're going to run out of money, and they're actually okay. They're okay. And actually, his mom is one we're going to be meeting with. Your mother.
Yeah.
The way she's living is just not, she needs to be able to enjoy herself and live a little more.
Yeah. So you get her permission to take the clue. Okay, just give her permission.
We're doing the cash flow now. Well, as soon as the kids go back to school, because she takes care of my niece, we're doing that for her, and going to that. And on top of everything, on top of the fact that she's not spending enough, she doesn't really need to leave anything to us because we all have careers. We're all, we're all.
That's her concern. She doesn't want to touch it because she wants to leave as much as she could for her kids. I'm like, your kids don't want you living like this. Your kids are going to be okay.
Right. So you give her permission and show her that she's never going to miss the money.
Right.
Okay? She's going to. And she may want to do things with you guys. By herself. Take a cruise. Go to Europe. Take a cruise in the Med. Take a cruise. Whatever she's dreamed about doing. So this is where, when you're doing goal setting and you're doing, let's talk about dreams and aspirations and what makes you happy. And the other thing is to feel a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. People get older, they do not want to take any risk. And that's not good for them. They need to take risks. They need to do some things that they're a little bit uncomfortable in order to feel alive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you can only do so much, right? People are kind of set. But you can help. You can, by giving them permission, it may not change anything, but just say, you can spend $20,000 a year on travel. What? Yeah.
Right. That's a great idea. We put that as a goal when we do the plan for her. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, good. Was this helpful today?
Very helpful.
Yeah.
I've already sent a text message to my daughter telling her we're having a quick chat today and our first family meeting starting tomorrow.
Great.
Yeah. And just on a side note, I have had that cash flow analysis with other clients where I did tell them, listen, you can spend more. You have the means to spend a little bit more to take that vacation and, do whatever, you worked hard for it to get to this point. Enjoy some of it.
Right. And, you're only going to have one 50th anniversary. You're only going to have one, 75th birthday. What would you like to do? Well, I'd like to take the whole family on a cruise. Okay, I think you can do that. Let's do the math.
Yeah, the family thing was really helpful too. I think that, That's a way to incorporate everything and tie everything in.
Because her passion is her family, you know, and getting everyone together. And
Right. That was my dad. My dad was all about. So we took him on their 50th anniversary. We took him to Bermuda, the whole family, and dad loved it. Mom loved it. It was beautiful. We all got dressed up in black tie and gowns and things, and to the captain's dinner and took a picture. And I still have it, you know. Still important. Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, in 5 minutes it's over. It's unfortunate. Yeah. It's life goes too fast, you know.
Yeah.
Mom and Dad are both gone, but we still have those memories, and they were important. And Dad loved getting the family together. That was his big deal.
That was Rick's dad. He loved anything family.
My dad was so funny. He'd call me and say, "Hey, you know, spring break. Rick and Warren are both coming. Are you going to come?" I go, "Oh, God, that's for me? Yeah, okay. When? Date? Okay, I'll do it." Then he'd call Rick and say, "Hey, Rob and Warren are coming."
That's a good one. I'll remember to use that on my kids when they're grown.
That's awesome.
And he called me and was
awesome.
Rob and Rick are coming. Are you coming? Yep. Okay, I'll make it. I'll figure out a way. All my cousins. Rob and Rick and Warren are coming. Can you come? He was so sick. He was a funny guy. He was a riot. I miss him. Anyway, love you guys. You be good.
You too, Rob. Thank you for the time. I hope everything's okay with you personally. Is all okay with your health? And
yeah, I'm good. I'm back working out like a madman again, and I'm enjoying it. It's I probably miss it when I don't do it. It's like, oh, torture.
Yeah.
You know, some people going to the gym is. So some people working out is torture. For me, not working out is torture. So
yeah,
I'm very happy this morning. I was tired. I worked hard this morning, and I'm really tired. But it feels like that good tired, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's
great.
Anyway, all right. Okay. It was great talking with you again.
Nice
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
All right. Bye.